Well, I started to learn more about La Trobe University when I was approached by headhunters who wanted to know if I was interested in the top job. That was in the middle of 2006. I knew a little bit about La Trobe. I'd been here a couple of times in 1996. In 1996, I spent 3 months at the University of Melbourne as a Downing Fellow in Social Economics, and I came up to La Trobe a couple of times to listen to seminars that were being given in economic history, which is my subject area. And I knew about economic historians at La Trobe University, particularly Eric Jones, Professor Eric Jones, and many of his students who have had a big impact on the field of economic history. But I didn't know much else about the university. I was, until I started to look at the university in the middle of 2006, I didn't know about its prominence in bioscience, for instance. So I started to learn a lot about the university, and it seemed to me this was a university with a great track record and great potential, but that had been sort of, I don't know, resting on its laurels for a while. So I thought, yeah, that sounds like something that I would like to take on. I suppose I wouldn't want to take on a job where I felt I was just going into a position to keep things ticking over. I get impatient, I suppose. So I like to do different things, new things. And it seemed to me that there were a lot of new things to do in the university. Not, of course, that I can do a great deal, because I sit in my office and pass papers from one side of the desk to the other. I mean, the doing is really done by all the staff in the university. But there were clearly a number of, blockages that were preventing staff really doing what they wanted to do and really achieving for themselves and for the university the goals that they were setting. So that was really my role. Remove the blockages, let people go out and really set their sights high and go out to achieve, you know, top quality research, top quality teaching. I think everyone has moments in their life, whether it be their you know, personal life or work life, where they think, oh, this is dreadful. And certainly, you know, in work, I think, you know, events will occur where you think, oh, I wish that hadn't happened, or I wish I hadn't done that, or I wish others hadn't done that. But overall, I'm an optimist. I mean, I when things go wrong, and in a large organization, many things will go wrong, or will not go to plan, I take the view, well, that's an opportunity to learn something from this. Because we want to try to make sure that we don't repeat the mistakes, we don't let things continue to go wrong. And I think if you're of an optimistic cast of mind, then you can sort of work through those problems and keep a clear sense of the future. Think about not all the problems and all the things that happened in the past, but what do I want to achieve tomorrow and next week and next year? So, no, I wouldn't say I've ever felt, oh, this is too difficult. I mean, perhaps the biggest challenge was the appearance, really, just as I joined the university and then working through the finances of the university over my first 12 months here, the recognition that not only was the financial position of the university quite precarious, but that the financial accounting system gave really very little budgetary control. So having to rebuild the finances of the university was quite a big task. And the amount of time and effort I had to spend on that, to some extent, well, because I was spending a lot of time and effort on that, I couldn't spend time and effort on sort of the core academic business. But it was an essential step to get that sorted out. And I have to say, you know, what the university has achieved over the last 3 and a bit years is a result of collective effort. It's not a result of what I have done. It's a result of what many people have done right throughout the university. If in any large organization, you know, one person goes in thinking they have to change the organization, they will fail. Organizations can only be changed because there's a commitment across the organization to do things differently and to do things better. I think the major achievements of the university over the last 3 and a bit years are really boosting its academic activities in terms of its research performance, its appeal to students. We've seen a big increase in student demand, big increase in numbers. Getting a firm financial foundation for the university, because that was pretty shaky 3 years ago. And more than anything else, getting a sense of self-confidence, a sense of knowing what we want to do and how we're going to do it. Because I got a feeling that there was, the university lacked that self-confidence when I arrived. So that I think is something that's happened right across the university. And of course, getting external recognition, bringing in a lot of funding from the federal government, raising the profile of the university, having the Infinite Possibilities marketing campaign and a rebranding of the university, and getting our name and our message out right across Melbourne and across Northern Victoria. All that's been very important. I think 3, 4, 5 years ago, the university was almost invisible to people in large parts of Melbourne and Northern Victoria. Now it isn't. Now it's quite prominent. And we've got a tremendous amount to shout about because this is a great university. And that wasn't being done in the past. So that, I think, the raising of the profile, raising of the confidence are the most important things. Oh, I think La Trobe is clearly provides excellent educational opportunities, and it always has done. It's always been an open and accessible university, and we will continue to be an open and accessible university. In fact, providing even more opportunities for students, many of them, you know, first generation university students coming from households with no tertiary education experience. That is a really major contribution of the university. Education is the most powerful force for social transformation. And we can effect that social transformation by educating people, each, you know, generation of students. We're also a major research university. And I want to make sure that we continue to have a significant impact on society through our research. Now, much of that research is very academic research. It's blue skies research. But all the research we do needs to be of use to others. Now, sometimes those others are other academics, sometimes they're people in the public sector or in industry and commerce, but we always want to make sure that our research is of high quality, is valued by the people who use it. Those two elements seem to me to be the core of any university. But there's one other thing that I think is very important for a university. That is, I think it has to be valued by its local community. Universities are big institutions. La Trobe, on its two major campuses in Melbourne and Bendigo, employs a lot of people, has thousands of students who have a major impact on the local economy. And I think as a university, we need to make sure that we always work with the local communities, support those communities, because universities are always key elements of local economic and social development. Over the next 5 years, say, here at La Trobe, we're going to be focused on growth in terms of student intake, but we want to make sure that we don't just grow numbers by opening the doors wide, without preparing students for success. And I fear many universities are going to try to do just that. So what we're focusing on is making sure that through the Design for Learning program, we provide students from the moment they enter the university and come into orientation with a lot of support so that they can succeed in their learning. And success in learning is not just about what happens in the classroom or the laboratory or the library. It's also about the social networks that students build. It's about the study skills that they can develop and that they're supported to develop. It's about broader personal development. And so we're trying to design a program for success. And that's a major project within the university to rebuild the curriculum, transform it, to make it, I suppose, more appropriate for an expanded higher education sector. At the same time, we've got to make sure that we support staff in the university so that they can always work to ensure that students are well supported, but that we make sure that the staff then have time to do their work appropriately. So we've got to make sure that, for instance, that with our academic staff, that they have plenty of time for their research activities and that they're properly supported for research. So we're doing a lot of work around both the efficiency of our teaching delivery, about other support for students from non-academic staff, and about managing academic staff time so that it's not all consumed with administration and teaching. The other thing that we want to, I want to make sure that we do in the future is invest in our research strengths. We have some absolutely fantastic research of the highest international quality that's undertaken in the university. I want to build on that, further invest in that research so that we can continue to attract top quality academic staff and undertake the best possible research. And I would say that means we're going to have to make some choices. Indeed, the federal government has said to all the universities, you're going to have to make choices about where you put your research dollars. Not every university can support all types of research in all areas equally, and the federal government's made that clear. So we're going to have to make some of those choices to identify and then support particular areas of research strength. I think for me, the key issue, the key element of success for universities in the future is going to be quality. We are going to face a real transformation in higher education over the next 5 to 10 years. Higher education is going to move from being essentially a protected public sector activity to being almost fully marketized. And that means we will be facing a lot of price competition and a lot of quantity competition, both in teaching and in research. And the universities that will prosper are those that put quality to the forefront. It's clear in our teaching, for instance, that university teaching is always going to be more expensive than teaching in TAFEs. And TAFEs are moving into the undergraduate degree market. So how can we justify our higher costs and our higher price that we have to charge students? It has to be because we offer something of a distinctively different and higher quality. But we have to be able to demonstrate that, not just say university education is higher quality than TAFE education. We've actually got to demonstrate that, and we've got to prove it, and we've got to continue to prove it and demonstrate it for each new cohort of students. And in terms of research, we've got to demonstrate that our research is of a higher quality than that which is undertaken either in designated research institutes, and there are many of those here in Melbourne, or research that's undertaken by big consultancy companies like KPMG and PwC that now undertake a huge amount of public sector and other research activity. So quality and excellence is how we will survive. And so that has to be really at the core of everyone's activity within the university. We all have to be committed to excellence. We all have to be committed to improving what we do. And I think that runs throughout the organization. It doesn't matter whether it's someone who's, you know, working on a help desk in IT services, or delivering a first year lecture, or answering the phone in the admissions office, or sitting in the vice chancellor's office processing committee papers and other things. We've all got to think about how can we achieve even better results. We've all got to think about, what's my responsibility to really produce excellent service to the people I'm serving? Because in the end, we've got to remember, higher education is a service sector industry. If we don't provide top quality service to the students that we're educating and to the people who are funding our research, they'll take their business elsewhere. In the past, they couldn't, or they didn't, because it was a public sector, you know, protected public sector organization. In the future, they'll go. Just as, you know, if you don't like the service that you get from a particular shop or a particular, you know, utilities supplier, you take your business elsewhere. That's going to happen in higher education. And we have the capacity to respond to that at the Trobe. We're very well positioned. And as long as we all focus on that, focus on quality, service, excellence, and improvement, then collectively, we will make sure that the university prospers. For me, La Trobe University is more than just a job. I'm passionate about education. I'm passionate about opportunity. I think we have a moral responsibility to provide opportunities for students, a moral responsibility to deliver good service to the Australian public, who in the end pay a large part of our wages through the taxes that they pay. I think we have a moral responsibility to try to create a better society. And that's why I think La Trobe University has to be an institution that has a clear set of moral values. And we have a responsibility to adhere to those values in everything we do. Values of openness, transparency, integrity, honesty, inclusiveness. And I think we've got a responsibility to inculcate those values in all staff and all students of the university. And if we do that in terms of each cohort of students, then we can really have a big impact on society. If every year thousands of La Trobe students graduate and go on in their private lives and in their work lives to take those values forward, then we do have a big impact on society. Some people say universities should be sort of value-free zones, that, you know, you should accept all discourse. I think you should. You know, academic freedom is important, but that you shouldn't prioritize or privilege any particular set of views over any others. I don't agree with that. I think universities need to be clear about the values that they adhere to, and to persuade others that those are good and decent values for society. I do sense that people are conscious of the position of Vice Chancellor. In fact, one of the things I find very odd is that people address me by the position. They say, "Hello, Vice Chancellor," as if that's my name, and it's not. It's, you know, whereas, I mean, I don't think you would go around and to someone and say, "Hello, you know, Deputy Director of Residential Services." You know, you call them by their name. So that I find odd, and I would much prefer to be called Paul than Vice Chancellor. Now, I think it inevitably, in any organisation, there is some, you know, there is a management hierarchy. So I'm at the top of the management hierarchy here, and that gives me a degree of authority, and I suppose power. I try to be conscious of that. I would never wish to exercise power except through the appropriate structures of the university. I would hope that I would always use the authority that's vested in the position. And let me stress, the authority is vested in the position, not in me, in an appropriate manner. And insofar as I do that appropriately, I would hope that would be appreciated by colleagues in the university. And sometimes I have to take decisions which will not, you know, which will lead to some people being unhappy. I mean, that's, in a sense, part of the responsibility I take with the job. But I would never want to do that in a capricious way, and I would always try to do it in a way which is sensitive to the to the personal to the personal feelings of the individuals involved. I would hope I continue to be approachable, and I mean, my regret is that, given that my diary is always very full, I don't have the amount of time I would like to have simply to go out and talk to people around the university to find out what is troubling them and what's exciting them and what their aspirations are for the future. Because it's those aspirations that are held by people right across the university that will in fact ensure our future success. And you know, I'll try to harness as many of those as I can. And you know, I've been trying to use video broadcasts and other ways of having conversations, open meetings, blogs, and so on, to try to make sure that people can send me ideas and suggestions and the odd, you know, gripe and moan which sometimes comes to my door, I try to respond to those as well as I can. With 2,500 employees in the university, I can't respond to everyone individually, but I'll continue to try to engage with people, and I hope they will continue to find me approachable and responsive. Time for a cup of coffee.